In the first podcast of this program, I asked you to bear with me and jump into practicing these skills, even if you were skeptical that they could fit in a WIC setting. Here's where we revisit the question of how they can enhance your work. You may have thought that WIC sessions are too short to use these techniques. You may now have already noticed that it's even more important when you have limited time to attend carefully to your wording, help the client focus on one change, and ask permission before giving advice. If by now you have also had quite a few weeks to practice this approach, you may have noticed feeling less drained at the end of the day. We'll step back now and take a look at the field of motivational interviewing. The skills we've been working on all come from MI, and now we get the overall picture. For those of you who like formats to follow, we will look at some simple formats to keep in your head as you work. We'll wind up with another look at how you can continue to practice these skills. Let's look at defining motivational interviewing here so that we can see this bigger picture. Any definition of MI includes that it is a particular kind of conversation, and it is a conversation about change. MI is deeply collaborative. It implies a partnership, that you're working together, that you know the client has autonomy over their life, that it's not an expert teaching someone else type of conversation. MI is also deeply evocative. It seeks to call forth the person's own motivation and commitment. So here's the definition we'll use. Motivational interviewing is a person-centered counseling method for addressing the common problem of ambivalence about change. This certainly fits into the spirit of VENA, or Value-Enhanced Nutrition Assessment, the basic process of the WIC program. So MI is comprised of the techniques we have been looking at in these podcasts, as well as a certain spirit. You can see that the techniques we've been working on all support a spirit of collaboration with the client and evoking their own motivation and commitment. It assumes autonomy of the client, and it's all embedded in compassion for whatever this person is currently experiencing. We're going to look briefly now at the theory behind motivational interviewing. Working backwards on this chart, starting with the box in the lower right-hand corner of the slide, we know that specific behavior changes, such as choosing to breastfeed and waiting to introduce solid foods until 6 months, lead to desired health outcomes. These are all the best practices that you know very well. Of course, to do these behaviors, our families need first to be committed to them. A central concept in MI is that prior to changing behaviors, people will talk about it, and that talking about it increases commitment to change. Research has shown these connections. Working farther backwards on this chart in the upper left corner, research has shown that specific things that counselors do and say decrease resistance and increase the change talk that clients make, and therefore they're more likely to change. It has been clearly shown that the application of both the spirit of MI, which is evident in our empathy and rolling with resistance, and the use of specific techniques, such as reflecting change talk, are necessary to achieve the desired effects. These specific techniques have actually been coded, and sessions can be recorded and then graded to show the degree of MI compliance on the part of the counselor. Increased compliance to MI style and techniques leads to better outcomes. There is good research on all the steps in this chart. Now moving all the way back to the beginning of the chain, there is training in the lower left corner of the slide. Of course, it takes training and experience to be able to do motivational interviewing to the level of competence that outcomes will be improved. Here the MI research shows a considerable degree of fall off. After basic training such as this one, counselors tend to feel more confident. However, tape-recorded work samples before and after training show only modest changes in actual practice and don't bring their practice up to a level considered competent in MI. And there was no difference in client session change talk, and we could not expect positive outcomes. So initial training convinces us counselors that we've acquired MI skillfulness, but actual practice doesn't change enough to make a significant difference in clients' lives. MI researchers have studied the effect of adding to a basic training progressive individual feedback on performance and personal follow-up coaching. The feedback and coaching significantly improved counselor proficiency, and there were significant increases in change talk and commitment language in their clients. If you would like to continue to improve your skills, you could choose to commit to an ongoing process of skill advancement that includes feedback and coaching. Perhaps your supervisor already has plans to help you in this way. Now, let's get back to how to pull this all together. We've broken down the skills, and you've had a chance to practice them separately. It's useful to revisit focusing on one at a time over and over. Here, we'll look at how they flow together. In your WIC training, you may have been given one or several formats to follow that help you stay on track during a contact. You may have realized already that the basic MI skills can be incorporated into almost any format. The way MI looks at the flow of a session is in these four processes: engaging, focusing, evoking, and planning. Engaging always comes first and serves as a foundation for everything else. Focusing on a topic, such as handling a picky eater, and/or focusing on a specific behavior, such as having mealtimes more consistent, emerges as you begin evoking from the mom what is important to her and finding out what she already knows. Sometimes we circle around the focusing and evoking process for a while, going back and forth. If and when the client is ready, the process of planning for change begins. Sometimes it is necessary to circle back to evoking and refocusing again. Sometimes we even need to go back to the engaging process again if we notice the conversation is turning into an argument. So you can see that the four processes show us how to progress along with the understanding that we will back up here and there. Here are some other optional simple formats to keep in mind if you find them useful. You could think of a contact as being mostly about exploring what is important to this person, and then, if a behavior is focused on, exploring their confidence to do it. For contacts where you feel you must provide some information, perhaps you would keep in mind the elicit-provide-elicit format for giving advice. Or you could primarily be listening for change talk that goes in healthy directions and support it. These are optional formats you could play with if you wish. Now let's talk about time. The time limits you routinely work with can be frustrating. Many of the skills of MI actually help save time. For example, asking permission to talk about a certain topic or to provide advice. When you're doing a high-risk contact, you must discuss the nutritional concern. It won't work to wait to see if the mom brings it up. You can straightforwardly ask, "May we talk for a few minutes about your son's weight?" Or, "The doctor is concerned about your son's growth. May we talk about that for a bit?" Summarizing can save time too. When you summarize, you're inviting a focus and can move the conversation along. For example, "I hear that you have several frustrations with your daughter's eating habits. What one thing might we focus on today?" If you often find you have difficulty getting the conversation focused on a specific change, take another look at the open question handout and review the section called To Focus the Session. Finally, it can be useful to deliberately acknowledge the limited time out loud. For example, I know you don't have much time today. Or, it's not your idea to spend time talking right now about your child's eating habits. Notice that this also serves to roll with resistance. You might then add, this will take only about 6 minutes, or whatever number of minutes you think you can promise. Promising a time limit and then sticking with it tends to bring more cooperation. Here's an example of summarizing what you've heard matters to this parent and asking what their next step might be with a nod to the limited time, all with implying choice about advice. I hear that you're concerned about your son's weight because diabetes runs in your family, and you don't want him to have to deal with that. You want to be the best mom you can for him, and you also mentioned that you don't have long because your ride is waiting. What one change might you be ready for right now that will move in that direction? I'd be glad to provide a few ideas if you want any. By the way, that example only took 25 seconds to deliver. Many of you conduct your nutrition education in groups. This program focuses primarily on individual contexts. However, many of the same skills can fit in a group setting. We can offer choice and ask permission in groups too. We can evoke the group wisdom by turning to the group when a topic comes up and ask the members to share how they've handled this concern. And we can encourage collaboration between the people in the group rather than maintaining emphasis on our expertise. If you would like to explore more about staying client-centered when working with groups, follow the Groups link on the main step-by-step program page for more optional reading and links to other programs. Now I have some questions for you. If you were to decide to continue to work on your counseling skills in the coming months, how might you do this? If you're going through this program in a group, this is a useful topic to discuss together. Next question for you. What is a next step that you know you could do this very week? And finally, what do you know about what support helps you make changes and how might you get that support? Let me take this opportunity now to thank you for joining me on this journey of skill development. I encourage you to revisit these skills over and over throughout your work. I've been practicing for over 30 years and continue to cycle through refocusing on individual skills to practice and get better. It never ends. Good luck to you, and do stay in touch by subscribing to the free counseling tip series available on my website. I'm always looking to improve this program, so thank you in advance for any feedback you have.